The reading is from 1 Corinthians 13, 13. So faith, hope, and love remain, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I was just 11 years old on March 4th of 1968. Growing up in Cyprus, a small island on the eastern Mediterranean, on the far eastern corner of the Mediterranean Sea, more than 6,000 miles away from Memphis, Tennessee. When the news of the assassination of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. arrived, as a youngster, I was perplexed that such terrible news kept coming from such a great nation as America. I still remembered the assassination of John Kennedy a few years earlier, and the adults around me kept talking and predicting that the younger Kennedy, Robert, who was running for president at that time, would probably have the same fate as his brother and as Dr. King. It was not until 10 years later, after arriving in the US as a student, that I began to understand the deeper issues and complexities of American society. I was now able to experience more intimately the dynamics of race that still plague this country. As I learn more, Dr. King keeps emerging larger than life out of the darkness of hatred and bigotry. He stands out as he rejects violence, as he imitates Christ's example of forgiveness, as he embraces hope, animated, as he explains himself, and undergirded by faith and by love. His sermon titled The Meaning of Hope is very revealing of his hopeful spirit. He distinguishes between realistic hope and optimism. He also distinguishes desire from hope and explains that desire is based on the I, the benefit of the self, the individual, while hope is related to the benefit of the we, of all of us, the many. He also lays a serious responsibility upon the church. He says, if there is any one thing that the church must do, is to keep the flame of hope burning. The church is something of the custodian of hopefulness. And when everybody else loses hope, when other institutions lose hope, the church is that one institution that must keep hope alive. Dr. King parted with the people who advocated violence. He explains why. He says, I was talking to some of my nationalist friends the other day. We were arguing about violence versus nonviolence. And I was saying, the problem is that you have lost hope. Your rationality is breaking down. You will begin to talk about guerrilla warfare in a situation where it's neither practical, nor possible, nor moral. He who loses hope makes the ugly beautiful and the beautiful ugly. Dr. King continues to explain. He who loses hope makes the true false and the false true. He who loses hope makes that which is good appear evil, and that which is evil appear good. Dr. King drew hope not only from the Holy Scriptures, but even from the way the Negro slaves had handled their own predicament over the centuries. And he explains. And Jeremiah the prophet raised a great question. He looked out and he noticed the ambiguities of history. He noticed good people suffering and evil people prospering. And he said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Centuries later, our foreparents came along as they were living in slavery, and they noticed the inequalities of life. Nothing to look forward to morning after morning but the sizzling heat, the rawhide whip of the overseer, long rows of cotton, But they did an amazing thing. They looked back across the centuries and they took Jeremiah's question mark and straightened it into an exclamation point. And they could sing, "There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sick, the sin-sick soul." And then he pours out his own heart and says, "I like that other verse because, you know, I feel discouraged sometimes. Living every day under the threat of death, I feel discouraged every now and then. And I feel my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. Yes, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole." And this is the faith. It is the faith that will carry us through the dark days ahead. And he finally concludes, "And I want to thank God for St. Paul for letting us know that in the midst of the changes and vicissitudes of life, some things will abide. Faith, hope, and love. Yes, they will abide." Amen.